Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's 8:49. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. De facto independence of the Western Cape is now underway. I'm actually feeling a bit uncomfortable about that. I'd feel very uncomfortable if Cape Town were to leave us. Advocate Paul Hoffman, Director of the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning to your listeners. We're surviving in the Western Cape. Beautiful day.
Yes.
Sunny and bright, no wind, no rain.
Are you really wanting to leave us? I feel a bit offended by that.
No, it's not going to happen. Oh. I mean, it's very difficult, short of a revolution, to see how it can work in the context of the constitutional dispensation that has been in place in South Africa since 1994. Your older listeners will remember that at the time of the negotiations which led to the National Accord, which informs our new constitution, there was a debate as to whether South Africa should be a federal entity, such as you have in the United States of America, or a unitary state, such as South Africa was before the end of the apartheid regime. You'll remember that we transferred from what was really a parliamentary sovereignty in which the dominant institution of state was the majority in parliament. And we have now got in place a supreme constitution, and we regard the rule of law and the constitution as our guiding light, rather than the majority of politicians in parliament. And that really means that people in politics have to do what the constitution allows them to do, no more and no less. And if they behave in a manner that is inconsistent with the constitution, or conduct themselves in such a manner by, for example, unilaterally declaring independence for the Western Cape, then they are painting outside the lines and their conduct is regarded as constitutionally invalid. That's the difficulty that they have. There is a provision in the Constitution that does deal with self-determination. It's section 235,
right,
which is not likely to be at everybody's elbow. It's a one-sentence section that runs for six lines. Listen carefully, because it's not what I'm saying, it's not what you're saying, it's what our supreme law is saying about self-determination. The right of the South African people as a whole to self-determination, as manifested in this constitution, does not preclude, within the framework of this right, recognition of the right of self-determination of any community sharing a common cultural and language heritage within a territorial entity in the Republic or in any other way determined by national legislation. So what you have is a right to self-determination which is in the hands of the majority in Parliament. And as we know, that federal versus unitary state debate was won by those who said South Africa should be a single entity. It's a little bit of a nod towards federalism, because we do have provinces, and provinces have been given specific tasks in terms of the constitution. But I would say that we were probably, politically speaking, a quasi-federal system with a strong overlay of being a unitary state. And that's the way it's been since 1994. And unless a majority in Parliament can be persuaded that, for example, the Western Cape is such an obnoxious, unnecessary appendage to the rest of South Africa, I cannot see I cannot see any peaceful means of getting to where the secessionists want to be.
So what is the point of this? Because it's unlikely to succeed. All it does is sow animosity, discontent, and negativity within the country. Why bother with this?
Well, the point is that there are people in the Western Cape who feel uncomfortable being part of South Africa and want to have their own political identity. And if they can achieve that by peaceful means, they will have achieved a majority in Parliament that recognizes their right to self-determination. If they cannot achieve it by peaceful means, then they are going to be in the situation where they have to go into the bush and become revolutionaries and fight for the independence of the Western Cape.
Cape Townians. They'll go down to Camps Bay for sunset cocktails. There is no way they're going into any bush as revolutionaries. I just can't see it.
I actually asked Mr. Craig, who's one of the big proponents of the Cape independence movement, whether he was a constitutionalist or a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer, being a politician, was no, he's both. And I'm afraid you can't be both. Mm. And this question really brings into very sharp relief the governance by sleight of hand, which we've been experiencing in South Africa since 1994. Some of your listeners will have heard of the National Democratic Revolution, which is the credo of many people in the majority alliance in South Africa. They believe that this constitution that I regard as our supreme law and as the recipe for the new South Africa that was agreed upon in the 90s, it's a stepping stone to the National Democratic Revolution, which will bring about a one-party state in which the party has hegemonic control of all the levers of power in society. That's including governments, the media, judiciary, banks, mines, industry. Everything will be under party control. Now, the ANC-led alliance pays lip service to either the Constitution or the National Democratic Revolution, depending on how you interpret the way they pay. In January this year, the president said, we've got the best constitution in the world, but we must pursue the National Democratic Revolution, which are actually mutually contradictory statements when you think about it. And so sort of on the left-hand side of the spectrum, the RET faction of the ANC is really seeking to undermine our constitutional order and replace it with this radical economic transformation that they're so interested in. And on the right-hand side of the spectrum, you've got the secessionists or the Cape Independence movement, which really is the mirror image or the other side of the coin of those who are pursuing their National Democratic Revolution in a way that is deeply, darkly unconstitutional. The secessionists are pretending that they can do what they want to do by constitutional means, but in order to get to that point, they are going to have to engineer a political situation in which they are able to persuade a majority in Parliament that it would be a better idea to let the Western Cape be subjected to self-determination as its political dispensation, as its state structure. And I don't see how they can do that short of fermenting a right-wing revolution headed in that direction. It's a useful thing because it makes us
It's worth it in terms of the conversation and in terms of giving us a little bit of perspective. I just keep wondering if the Independent Cape will keep Patricia de Lille, because then it might well be worth it. Either way, we are... Sorry, did I just say that out loud? Either way... We are out of time. Advocate Paul Hoffman, Director of the Institute for Accountability in South Africa, talking about the Western Cape. Have they fulfilled any of the requirements for statehood?